Man, I love that song that we sang there about Through the Cross, one that the teens learned. When you listen to the words about the life that we have, those of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, that we've been given because of what Christ did on the cross, the payment that was made and the sacrifice that was made for our sins, man, that just, I love the songs that a lot of our we do on Wednesday nights with our teens. It really helps the teens focus on their need for Christ in their life, their everyday reliance upon Him, and how He's the true source of life because of the life that He gave for each and every one of us. And so it's just, I know that I'm kind of prideful maybe on when it comes to our teen ministry, and I'm maybe, you know, one of those parents that their kids are always perfect and never do wrong. But, you know, we do have a really neat youth group here at Crossroads, and it is, you know, I know it's not me, and my leaders would be first to say it's not them either. It is the Lord that is working in the hearts of each and every one of our teens. And when they yield themselves to the Lord, and it is awesome to step back and watch what happens. You know, to see some of the teens that, Olivia, one of the ones that was saved at camp, she couldn't be here tonight, but she came to camp, started coming to youth group as a result of a friend inviting her, you know, to church, wanting her to come to church and being a part of the Wednesday nights, and then got plugged in and then went to camp and got saved. And, you know, it's the teens that step out and to show their faith to those around them. And, man, what an encouragement. If you could stand, if you could come out one day at camp and watch what happens when you take the world and you separate it from the teen and let God be the focus of their life for a week, man, it challenges the leaders too. The leaders begin to see what happens in their lives when we step away from the world and we let God's word be the focus for the week. It changes every one of us. And that's kind of what I want us to look at tonight. If you want, go to the Romans in the Bible. Go ahead. We'll start in Romans chapter 1, the theme verse of our camp for the week. And the theme for camp, just so you know, was unleashed. And we talked about several things at camp. We went through, we had several men come out in the morning services and preach. And then throughout the evenings, what I had focused on three of the nights was having a unleashing the purpose of God in your life. Because I want the teens to know that the purpose of God for our life is not a mystery. It's been revealed in God's word to us. And it's our responsibility to understand God's purpose and then to walk in the Spirit and fulfill everything that God wants us to do. Reaching the lost, discipling those that are saved, equipping them so that they can go and do the same. And so we wanted them to understand that, to unleash the purpose of God in their life. And then we talked about having an unleashed prayer life, which it was great for me to see the response to the teens and have some of the leaders come back to me telling me about some of the teens that normally won't pray, but man, they were praying in their cabins together. They were praying, you know, in groups. And what a blessing that was to see how God's word challenged their hearts and their own prayer life. And even some of the leaders, and me first included, before I even preached the word. And then on the last night, we talked about unleashing a passion for the Lord, unleashing a passion for Christ. And tonight, I want to follow that same line. And teenagers, I want you to listen, but church, I want you to pay attention too, because there is a power that we all need to allow to be unleashed in our life. The power is not of us, and the power is completely of God. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, teens, do you think you can pull it off? Brother Mark, you want to lead it? You want Brother Mark to lead it? Brother Mark, come here. Now, Brother Mark, don't take as much. I want you to sing through it one time for us. Oh, you need the guitar?
Yeah, man.
Brother Mark comes out to the camps for us, and he has done a phenomenal job having the teens memorize Scripture through song. Now, the church knows Romans 1:16 one way. This is completely different. And this is all credit to Brother Mark and Caleb. And
well,
so
I have a question. How many times are we going to sing it through?
Let's not march around the building. Let's just sing it one time through. For the second time. But teens, you've got to sing it loud. All right? Help out Brother Mark.
Oh, and there's one more thing you got to do. Okay.
All right. They know it.
All right. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the grave. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. There you go. Forever on the internet now, Brother Mark. Brother Mark got that song in their heads, even to the point to where one night, yeah, this had to be about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, okay? The last night, I hear the loudest racket I've heard all week. Again, I'm like, great, here we go. I come out of my cabin, and there's a group of the boys marching around Brother Mark's cabin singing the song. First, they went up there and pounded on the door to wake him up. And then when he got up, then they started marching around the cabin. And so he couldn't get mad at him. I hollered across the camp, "You created it yourself, brother." So, but you got the verse memorized, didn't you? Romans 1:16. Okay, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that's, you know, when we got the idea of unleashed, it was, being unleashed was contrary to the fact of being ashamed. And I want you to understand tonight is that every believer, every person that knows Christ as their Savior must unleash the power of God in their life. It's there, but many times we allow it to be held back. We allow it to be leashed down or held back when we just need to let the power of God live through us. That's what God desires, for us to be vessels of His glory and His honor. And so how can we unleash this power of God in our life? Well, I wanted to do an illustration that's going to take most of the time, so I go back here, my hut. All right, here we go. Arla, that's a great shirt you got on, by the way. Miss Arla came out, first time helping out at camp, and nobody comes prepared like this woman. First time she's ever come to teen camp, the first thing I see her break out is one of those tri-fold towel racks and sets it out in front of the cabin. I said, what is she doing? Then she brings out four plastic chairs and puts them in the porch. So, Arla, we're only here for a week, right? Now she's planning to bring a motorhome and a golf cart next year. So we enjoyed having her out there and her family. But what I brought out here is a lamp, obviously. And one thing that we know about in this country is power is becoming a necessity, isn't it? How many of you have a cell phone? Yeah. Well, without power on that cell phone, what happens? Nothing, exactly. And so I want to use power as an illustration here and relate it to the power of God in our life. We all need to unleash the power of God in our life, and I'm going to give you three things. The first one, how we unleash that power of God in our life, is we must accept the power source. We need to accept the power source in our life in order to first have the power of God. You know, there's so many things that can keep a person from accepting Christ as their personal Savior. I've met people that don't want to accept Christ because they just can't comprehend in their mind, one, that God wouldn't accept him based on their good works. There's a lot of things like fear that people are afraid that, well, if I trust Christ and I become a Christian, then I'm going to be looked at as a Jesus freak or some kind of nut, and I just don't want that. I'm not ready for that. Sometimes people say, well, I know that if I accept Christ, I've got some things already that people have told me I need to get rid of in my life, and I know that if I trust Christ, I'm going to have to get rid of those, and I'm just not ready for that yet. And so there's a lot of things that cause people to withhold and stand back, and that's kind of what we see in Romans 1:16 when Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, being the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. And so when I am able to bow down and say, okay, I'm not going to be ashamed, I'm humbling myself and recognizing that I'm a sinner and that I need Christ and I need God in my life in order to be accepted before Him because I can't do it on my own, then we're able to receive that power. And so, I mean, you wouldn't imagine that when you go to plug in a lamp that it would start fighting you like it's ashamed and you can't quite get it in the plug and it's just, you know, the cord's going everywhere else and it's doing everything it can to not get plugged in. You know, but many times that's what we are as Christians, or before we're Christians. We hear the gospel, somebody presents us with the opportunity to accept Christ, and we find every reason to avoid trusting Christ as our Savior. And so in order to have the power of God in our life, we first have to be connected to that power source. And so if I come down here and I plug in this lamp, it's now connected to the power source. There's now power flowing through that cord, and if I was dumb enough to stick my finger into the socket, I would know that it's there. Now, I can't see it yet, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But I know the power is there. And if the lamp all of a sudden decided, man, I do not want the power, and it decided to separate itself, you know, and it just continued to fight. I don't want the power. You can't plug me in. You plug me in, I'm going to cut loose. You know, that's the idea of being ashamed of the gospel. I don't want it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. But once we're connected and that power is flowing through, it is there. And that's what Paul's writing here in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." There's the key word. It's not to everyone that does good works. It's not to everyone that attends church. It's not to everyone that, you know, was baptized. It's not to anybody except for those who what? Believe. Well, what's neat is Paul goes on, and because without that firm connection in Christ, there's no way to have the power that flows through the believer. I want you to hold your place in Romans. We're going to go back and forth from 2 Timothy to Romans. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 8. Paul writes to Timothy here, and what's neat is Romans is an early letter in Paul's ministry. Okay, he's not in prison yet. He's freely going around. He's reaching the lost. He's taking the word of God and he's teaching it. And in Romans 1:16, we see him talk about, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." But here comes his last letter, his last recorded letter that we have when he's writing it to his young, really son in the faith, Timothy. And look at verse 8. "Be not thou therefore," what? Ashamed. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to" what? Power of God. Paul was writing to the Romans about, be not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. We talked about that being the power of God unto salvation. And now he's telling him not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker in the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then Paul says here in verse 11 and 12, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am" what? "Not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," to the Romans in Romans 1:16. And then 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "I am not ashamed," again. I am not ashamed. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. You see, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he plugs us in to the true power source. Jesus Christ really would kind of be like the cord. If our lives were the lamp, Jesus Christ represents the cord that connects us to God, the power source. He is the one that bridged the gap. Why? Because, you know, if I rip this cord out of this lamp and I brought in just a lamp with no cord, what's the problem? There's no way to get the power source to the lamp. You know, go back to Romans, in Romans chapter 6. The teens know this one by song too, but we, for sake of time, we won't get up and sing it. But in Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul writes this: "For the wages of sin is" what? "Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When a person chooses to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's not because he lived a perfect, or that because the individual, you know, was a good person and was perfect in their own mind that God accepts him. No, it's because of what Jesus Christ did in the perfect life that he lived. You see, before that point, every person is born with no power, essentially without a power cord. No way to be connected to the power source. No matter what this lamp, no matter what you try to do, aside from putting a cord on the lamp, and Brother Donnie, you're pretty slick at creating things, I don't know that you could figure any other way to get power to this lamp other than putting a cord on it, right? Right. Just go with me. And so, The only way for that lamp to get power is a cord. The only way for us to have the power of God in our life is through the cord, Jesus Christ, to connect us to the power source. Because without Christ, we're dead. When we're born, we're dead in our sins. Bible says right there, the wages of sin is death. Anybody in here who has ever told a lie, that's a sin. Anybody in here who has ever disobeyed their parents, the teens, they ought to be quick to admit. They're guilty too. And every one of us in here, we could go through just the Ten Commandments and we could see how far that we've already fallen short multiple times. And so based on that, we know that we are dead. We were without life, but yet we're walking around. What's the Bible talking about? The spiritual life. Our spirit is dead. However, flip over to Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 9. Here God uses the Apostle Paul to give us the scriptures to let us know, where do we get the power cord from? I need somebody to connect a power cord to me to connect to God and His power. How do I do it? Well, look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt, what's the word? Believe. Remember what the Apostle Paul said back there in Romans 1:16? There's a key word there. To everyone that believeth. So what happens? Well, back in verse 9 of chapter 10, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what? Saved. Thou shalt have the power cord connected to the power source, who is God, so that now you have the power of God, you have life that you didn't have before. And so we must accept the power source in our life. We must accept Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight, and whether you're a teenager or an adult, and you haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'm telling you right now, you're dead in your spirit. Your spirit is dead. You stand before God. You're going to be judged based on the fact of your sins, and we're all going to be guilty. However, God has given us a way to be plugged into His power, and it's the only thing that's powerful enough to forgive us of our sins. And that connection is what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The song we sang, Through the Cross. And it's through the cross that we have forgiveness of our sins and what Christ did to make sure that He could connect us back to God the Father. And so, once we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, well then, that doesn't mean all of a sudden I am super spiritual, all-knowing Joe Christian or Josephine Christian. It doesn't make it. There's some things that follow after. What we talked about this morning with discipleship, growing in our relationship and understanding of God. Well, the second thing, not only do you need to accept the power source, but we must communicate with the power source. Communicating with God. There's two ways we communicate with God. We communicate God through reading His Word, and that's how we listen to God. He speaks to us by what He's given to us in His Word. Rightly divided, the teens know that. We talk about that. Our apostle, the Apostle Paul, that has written 13 books of the Bible by the inspiration of God, to the church, the body of Christ, that's for our learning, that's for our knowledge, our understanding. Now, that doesn't mean that the entire Bible, we can throw out the rest of it. There's things there that can be written for our learning, but we know that the books that Paul wrote are written directly to us. And so, when we're talking about that, we've told the teens the same thing. When I'm going to communicate with God, Romans through Philemon are the main books I really need to understand and let God work and point things out in my life through those books. But in addition to that, one of the things we talked about at camp was prayer. You know, go back to Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives the believers in Rome here a clear description of what the Christian life is to be. Look at verse 1 with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to believers, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want you to jump down and look with me at verse 9. Talking about the Christian. And he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to the other, another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in what? Prayer. distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. But I focused when I read through that, I was so amazed to see where he talks about our relationship with each other, but then he writes in there that continue instant in prayer. Man, our prayer life is vital to our relationship with God. Now, let me clarify. Our relationship with God isn't dependent upon our prayer life. Our relationship with God is dependent upon Christ. But our strength and our walk with the Lord is dependent upon our prayer life. And I talked about that with the teenagers, and we talked about how if I have my best friend and I only talk to him once a week, that's probably not going to be the strongest relationship that I have with a person. Or if every time I go to my best friend, I always say the exact same thing. Hey, it's good to see you. I love you so much. I'll talk to you later. Doesn't really formulate a strong friendship, does it? But a lot of times we treat God in our prayer life the same way. We'll kind of hit him on occasion. We'll hit him in emergencies. Or we'll hit him with the same prayer that we pray every other day. And we don't really just spend time communing and talking to God and getting serious and letting him see our heart. You know, prayer is communication with God. And to me, prayer is kind of like the switch. You know, there's power that's running through this cord and this lamp right now. But when we get serious about communicating with God through his word and through prayer, it's kind of like when the switch turns on. And when the switch turns on, things really begin to change on the outside and people notice something. You see, when the switch is turned on, now we see the light. We see that the power is now revealed through that light bulb. Before, the power was there, but it wasn't revealed yet because the switch wasn't on. And many times when we're not spending time in God's word and we're not spending time in prayer, man, we're that Christian that looks just like this. I'm plugged in, but I don't look a whole lot different than the rest of the world. And what we've got to come to recognize is that my communication and my time with God, and this is what we really talk about with the teens, and man, if I could take the teens to a camp for 365 days, I know Colleen would kill me, but I would do it. And here's why. Because at camp, we don't have the video games, we don't have the cell phones, we don't have the computers, we don't have the television, we don't have the radio stations, we don't have the friends that don't want to be at camp, we don't have the people that don't want to be at church. And I'm not saying that we just need to shelter ourselves and hide ourselves, but what I do want us to see is what happens when we pull ourselves away from the things that the world uses to get us to turn the switch off. Because you know what? When you're watching TV, I challenge you to try to study the Bible or pray while you're watching TV. Study the Bible or pray while you're listening to somebody who's sharing, you know, gossip or something else with you. Try to pray and study the Bible when you're talking, you know, or you're watching or listening to something on the TV that you know is profane and is ungodly. Try doing that when you're on Facebook trying to see what everybody else is doing today. You know, I'm not saying that all those things are evil in your life, but what I am saying is the world will use those. Satan will use those things to get you out of God's word, to get you out of your prayer time so that you can simply have that light switched off. And now you look like the rest of the world. Hey, I'm connected to God, but what good is it doing to the Lord and Savior who died on the cross for me? Because when I spend time in communication with God and that light comes on, well, now guess what? People see the power of God through me. I don't see the power running through that extension cord. I mean, I can't see it. I don't see anything going on. I know it's there. And sure, many Christians say, oh, I know God is in, you know, Christ is in my heart. I know I'm saved. But then you look on the outside, okay, but what separates you from the world? Who can tell? Until I really begin to grow, and I communicate with God in his word and through prayer, and then I can see the power of God revealed through me. It's not the lamp that turned the light on. It's the power that's coming through the lamp that's able to reveal it to others. And teenagers, I know you've been back home for almost 2 weeks now. And I know many of you have already gotten, you know, bombarded with the world and things, and well, it's been a week now. And things have already started to pull you away. Man, out there at camp, we were praying every day. All the boys would come out of the cabins first thing in the morning before we would go and eat breakfast, and we would pray together as men. Then we'd go up and we'd pray and get ready for food and everything else. You would have time in the afternoon to get along with God for about a half hour and read God's word and pray. We would have time of praying and study the Bible throughout the day. And I'll tell you what, I saw switch after switch after switch starting to come on while we were out there at camp. Man, as a youth pastor and as the leaders, I know that blesses our hearts, man. And that gets us excited to see God starting to be revealed through the lives because their switches are turning on. The world is away, and so now through just being in God's word and communicating and just meditating on and praying to God, the switches come on. And we see it. And church, you know the same thing. You know in your life. When things hinder your time in prayer, in the Bible, I'll be the first to admit, I know when that switch went off. Because I don't see God's power working through me anymore either. And we've got to humble ourselves and say, you know what, these things have caused me to flip that switch off. I need to get back in and turn that switch on so the power of God can be revealed through me. You know, prayer was so vital, and we see so many people in the Bible who it was key in their life. For sake of time, I'm just going to flip back. In the book of Psalms, I love this, and David wrote this in Psalm 55. It's kind of just a prayer to the Lord, and listen to the words that David writes here in Psalm 55. I'm going to read verses 1 and then 16 through 18 if you're taking notes. He says this. He says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. And then over in verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. You know, David sought God for prayer. And we see throughout the Old Testament many men that God used mightily that they relied on prayer, seeking God in prayer. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul tells the church three simple words, pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean I walk around all day on my knees and my eyes shut, you know, and bow down before the Lord, no. But I can pray all day through my conversations, through my activities. But I tell you what, I've learned in my life, and I know you've learned it in yours, both teens and adults, when I allow the things of the world to interfere, it becomes real hard to pray without ceasing. My mind gets distracted, and the last thing I catch myself doing is praying. Paul says to pray without ceasing. That's letting my mind be fixed upon Christ and all that he's done and looking at every event and activity in my life. And how can God you use this to be glorified? Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, after he went through the armor of God, he uses these two words in Ephesians 6:18, pray always. He tells the church. In Colossians 4, verse 2, he tells them to continue in prayer, calling upon the church to pray. You know, we need to make sure that our prayer life is consistent, regular, every day. Not just breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but every moment in between. Relying upon Christ and the power of God in us. And when we do that, I guarantee you, people are going to start to see the power of God through you. When we are connected and communicating to God and allowing Him to be revealed through us by turning that switch on. And then finally, the last thing, you must trust your life to the power source. You must trust your life to the power source. You know, we can trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, but then I've watched so many, and I've been there myself. You get saved, you know, okay, hey, well, you know what Peter say in 1 Peter 5:7? He said, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And we think, oh, I'm casting all my cares, but then there's all those things that we kind of drag with us and we carry and hold on to us. Brother Al, that morning, teenagers, you remember when he did the illustration with the backpack and all the bricks that he kept putting in Brother Matt's backpack. And each brick, whether it represented being ashamed or some kind of addiction, worldly addiction, or whatever it was, he kept putting in that bag. And it kept getting heavier and heavier. Now, did it change his relationship with Christ as far as being saved? No. But it hindered his ability to be used. Remember, he had that with the backpack on and empty, he was able to jump back and forth and do whatever Brother Al told him. But the minute he had all those bricks loaded in his front and in his back, he had two backpacks on, church. Loaded with big old blocks, brick blocks. Well, then Brother Al told him, go ahead and jump. And it was just kind of a slow shuffle. He wasn't nearly as effective in being able to move around as he was when there was no bricks in that backpack. Well, many times we'll trust Christ as our Savior, but then we don't trust Him with our entire life in every area of it. We think, well, I need to hang on to this area or this area or this area. And it slows us down and hinders us from being used and hinders God's power from really just being revealed through us. The Apostle Paul knew what it meant to rely upon God for strength. And even his prayer for the church, he sought that believers would be strengthened. Look at, you're in Romans, flip forward to Colossians real quick. Colossians. We're almost done. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. You there? Say amen. Well, you beat me. Hang on. All right. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 11. The Apostle Paul, this is in his prayer for the church. In verse 11, he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious what? Power. The Apostle Paul knew that it was the power of God that we need in our lives and allowing it to be strengthened or to strengthen us, that we'd be strengthened with the power of God. You know, a popular verse in the Bible, if you still have your place over in 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Popular verse, he said, for God in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. However, he gave us the spirit of what? But of power and of love and a sound mind. God gave us the spirit of power. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but however, the spirit of fear can hinder the spirit of power. It's kind of hard for them to coexist. He's given us the spirit of power, but a lot of times we allow things in our life we're afraid to give up to hold us back instead of just trusting God with our entire life. The power of God is given to every believer. However, it's still the tendency to fear and to not trust in God's power. And Paul knew that the power of God would be needed if anyone was going to live against this world. Look at, again, what he said there in verse 8. When the Apostle Paul was writing there to Timothy, he said, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to what? The power of God. There's a strength that the Lord provides to believers who will trust Him daily. And that strength comes from simply knowing what Christ has done and what God is doing and where it's all going to end. We all that have trusted Christ as our Savior will be able to stand with Him, to honor and glorify Him. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, he said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul credits God for giving him the strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about when he had that infirmity in the flesh and he sought the Lord three times. And what was Christ's response to Paul with that infirmity? He said, what did he say? You know it. My grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough. You don't need anything else. And so we see that we need to completely rely upon God and trust Him. When we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we can't just trust Him and then try to handle everything on our own. It doesn't work. We need to completely give it over to Him. We need to spend time each day communicating with God through His Word and through prayer. But those two things don't do us any good if we don't first have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We haven't first gotten plugged in. And Christians must live according to the power that God has supplied and allow their lives to be an outlet for God's power to reach others. Once we see the power revealed, it attracts. It attracts kind of like that light I've talked about before, the old bug zapper. Right? I don't see Steve, but Steve McComas got one for birthday, wasn't it? Sent me a text picture. Look what I got for my birthday, Brother Ralph. A bug zapper. And that bug sees that light. And that bug is attracted to that light. Well, you know what? We're attracted to light. We do. I mean, why did I get saved? Why did I trust Christ? Because I saw the light in somebody else. And I recognized the darkness that was in me, and I didn't like it. And I wanted the light. And so we've got to be plugged into that light source. We've got to be communicating with it. And we've got to completely trust God with our life. And if we'll do that, church, teenagers, it doesn't matter if you're at camp, you're at home, you're at school, you follow those principles in your life, and guess what? People are going to see the power of God in you, and you're going to be able to impact lives for Christ and give Him the glory for what He's done for your life as He's able to do it for the lives of others. Amen? Let's pray.